Before I read this, I do want to let you know that I have not talked to anyone about this. I've talked to Pastor Robert because it's what I was going to minister last Sunday night, and we obviously didn't get a chance to. It's a word I've really felt strong about. But I did not talk to Pastor Eva or Pastor Paul, and I briefly talked to Pastor Stacy, but it was very vague on what we're going to be talking about. So this is not planned. Let me know that God has something to say to his church. Let me know that the Holy Spirit is not schizophrenic. That the Holy Spirit is not schizophrenic, and we don't believe in just ministering a word to minister a word. We are going to minister what God is saying at this season, at this hour, and in this moment. So let's just jump into this and just see what the Spirit is saying to us as a church, as a people, and even as a nation today. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. I mean, that all sounds great. That all sounds like Naaman has it together. Like Naaman is the creme de la creme, the top notch, the ace kind of guy in the land. But then this conjunction shows up and completely changes the perspective on Naaman with three small letters, but. But. Somebody shout, but. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. But a leper. And suddenly everything that we've already learned about Naaman in verse 1, that he's a mighty man of valor, that God gave victory to Syria because of him, is completely undermined because of this. But a leper. But a leper. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Notice that, that you may heal him of his leprosy, that you may heal him of his leprosy. Verse 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Oh, hallelujah. I love Elisha. Verse 9, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you." Your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Verse 11, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Naaman had an expectation that wasn't met. Verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and said, spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God. He and all his aides came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." I find this entire passage so fascinating. Naaman, once again, this man of great stature, of great wealth, of great success. Naaman appears to have it all together, and then this conjunction shows up and completely changes our perspective on Naaman. Naaman has it all together, but he's a leper. Naaman has all this going for him, but he's a leper. Naaman has everything that the world could ever ask for, but he's a leper. And you have to understand the fact that Naaman is a leper is going to cause the undoing of all of the great things that he's accumulated throughout his life. Leprosy was not even permitted in the camp. So Naaman is going to lose everything that he has and everything that he's worked for and everything that's been given to him because he is a leper. Let me put it this way. Naaman had a flesh issue. Naaman has an issue in his flesh. You have to understand, leprosy is this disease that is a flesh-eating disorder that causes boils and sores and can even in progressive stages cause you to begin to lose digits, lose fingers, to lose things because essentially your flesh rots away because of the leprosy that has overtaken your flesh. He has a flesh issue. This flesh issue is going to cause him to lose everything unless it is dealt with. And how often is this the picture of us in America, and might even say us in the church, that we have everything together on the outside, but this flesh issue that we are unwilling to deal with is going to cause us to lose everything that we've gained because the butt in our life won't get out. They have a nice car, but they're buried in secret sin. They have a great job, but their marriage is a wreck. They have everything going on in the eyes of the world, everything going for them in the eyes of what we would call worldly success, but a leper, but a flesh issue. Naaman realizes he's going to lose everything. The king of Syria realizes that everything is going to be lost, that Naaman cannot remain in this seat, that he's given great influence and great authority and great success to the king of Syria. So something has to be done about Naaman. And this little girl says, send him to Israel. Send him to my master. And the king of Syria makes a little mistake. He sends him to the king of Israel to be healed, not to the house of the prophet. Let me put it this way. They try to deal with the flesh issue with fleshly authority. Naaman has this flesh issue, and they try to deal with it with a fleshly method. And the king of Israel goes, what am I supposed to do? Am I God that you send him to me, that I'm going to raise him up, that I'm going to heal his flesh? You have to understand, it just is what it is. And how often have we bought into the lie because we've tried to deal with the issues in our flesh with the flesh, that it just is what it is, that there is no hope, that there is nothing that can be done. Well, this is just who I am. And Naaman is not supposed to be defined by his leprosy. He's supposed to be defined as the mighty man of valor. He's supposed to be defined as the man of great wealth. He's supposed to be defined as the man of great success. But if he won't deal with the leprosy, he will forever be Naaman the leper, not Naaman the victorious. The flesh issue stands to completely undo everything that he's gained. And I'm telling you, friend, if you won't deal with the flesh issue, it will undo everything. You think that you've worked hard for it, and you probably have, and you think that you've earned it, and you probably have, but if you don't deal with the flesh issue, it will all go away because it will be consumed in the flesh. Are you with me? I've seen it happen to so many people. And I've seen it happen so many times. People come through the office and they've had great success and God's broken through on their behalf. And they've even seen promotion. They've seen increase. They've seen their family restored. They've seen this and they've seen that. And there's this little thing that shows up, but this is going on. But this is going on. And the prophet comes and says, you need to do this. And it's not what they wanted to hear. It's not what Naaman wanted to hear. Naaman didn't want to hear go dip in the Jordan. Naaman said, I want him to just, this is literally what Naaman says. I want him to just come wave his hand over me. Basically what Naaman says is, I'm here. I've done my part. Now you just wave your magic wand, make all my issues go away, and I'll just go on my way. And Naaman leaves furious. He leaves incensed because it's not what he was expecting. He expected no cooperation on his part for the prophet to just go, whew, be gone. And for there to be no responsibility on his behalf to do anything. But I will tell you that deliverance from the flesh issue always comes after obedience to the word. Believe his prophets. Oh, I said, believe his prophets. And you shall prosper. You shall have success. You shall be healed. Believe his prophets. Now, I want you to know something. Naaman was healed because he finally realized how silly it was that he was walking away. This is always my thing. You're in a mess. Why not just try it? Naaman, you're already a leper. Why are you concerned about the muddy Jordan? Your flesh is being eaten away, and you're like, I might get dirty. Think about the lunacy of this. He literally has a flesh-eating disease. He's like, that water is just disgusting. You have leprosy. Who cares if the water's dirty? You probably are missing fingers that have fallen off from rotting away, and you're concerned about the mud? Get over yourself, Naaman, and just try it. Just do what the prophet says and see what's the worst that happens. Oh, I've got a flesh-eating disease and I'm muddy. Just try it. Obviously, what you've been doing, Naaman, hasn't been working for you. You still have leprosy. Just try it. Believe his prophets and you shall have success. You shall prosper. So Naaman is healed whenever he heeds the word. Now, we know this. The Bible tells us this. In Exodus 15, it says that he's the God that heals you, that he healeth thee is what it says. And if he was the God that heals then he's still the God that heals today. If Jesus delivered the maniac of Gadara, he will still deliver today. If Jesus got in the dirt with a woman caught in adultery and extended mercy and grace and then told her to go and sin no more, which meant there was a power available to her to go and sin no more, then he still will get in your dirt today and rise up and tell you, now go and sin no more. Jesus hasn't changed. And if it was God's desire to heal in the old covenant, it's God's desire to heal in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, it's even more so because the Bible says that we now have a covenant established on better promises. So that means this, not only do you get eternal life whenever you die, whenever you pass away, that you go to heaven, but it also means that you don't have to live sick today. You don't have to live with a flesh issue today. You don't have to live broken down and downtrodden today. There is a power that can come into your life, heal you of your flesh issue, and make you rise out of the water a completely new person. I still believe in a moment changing you forever. I still believe in the prophet's encounter that causes flesh issues to go away and you don't have to wrestle with the thing every day for the rest of your life. I still believe that his power can change you, deliver you, heal you, set you free, and completely revolutionize your life in a moment. I still believe it. I don't preach this because I know it's what people want to hear. I know we want to hear that we're all okay, that everything's good, that you don't have to deal with anything, that God's grace delivers. We won't say that because that's not what they say. That's not what we want to hear. That God's grace just looks over it all, and praise God, God's grace did provide a way for my past to be erased. Hallelujah. Is anybody thankful that his mercy caused it to where your past he no longer remembers? I'm so thankful that because of his mercy, that all my shortcomings won't be played on the movie theater screen of heaven in front of everybody to see. I don't know if anybody ever, especially when you were a kid, you thought about this. You do something wrong. And of course, you do something wrong, right? You tell a lie or whatever it may be. You hit somebody or whatever. Things kids do, right? Pastor Robert stole a Reese's cup. Whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, whenever the conviction of the Holy Ghost hits, you have this image in your head of you're standing at the judgment seat, right? And all of a sudden, here comes this gigantic screen that just rolls up that's like 800 inches big, and it plays for everyone who's ever lived to see. And they're all just standing looking at you like, yeah, I see what you did. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm so thankful that that's not the case, that my sins are forgiven and forgotten. Oh, hallelujah. That my past is my past and it's not my future. And I want you to tell you that your past doesn't have to be your future. And the flesh issue that you've wrestled with in the past doesn't have to be the flesh issue that you wrestled with in the future. There's deliverance and there is freedom that is available to you. Deliverance doesn't mean that you go a week without doing it, fighting temptation the whole time. Deliverance means that the very desire is plucked from you and you don't wrestle with the thing for the rest of your life. That's what deliverance and restoration is all about. That's what it's all about. So many of us have these flesh issues in our lives similar to Naaman. You're good at your job, but your family's a mess. You know the Bible, but you're buried in secret sin. You know what's right, but you can't seem to live it. You have a great family, but your prayer life is non-existent. I have good news for you today. God wants to heal the butt in your life. He wants to just go into that. This person has a great family. They love the Lord. They're faithful to church. They've got a nice car, but they have a flesh issue. He wants to take that last line and just erase it to where it no longer exists. And the only thing that identifies you is His glory, His favor being shown upon you in a magnificent way and in a magnificent manner. I want you to know something. Naaman was not a person of covenant. Naaman was not even a person of covenant. And God was, he was a Syrian. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Hebrew. Naaman was completely and totally outside of covenant. Naaman did not undergo proselyte baptism to be brought into covenant. Naaman is completely and totally outside of covenant. And God still says, I will still honor the word of my prophet. And even to a person who's living outside of covenant, I will still manifest myself and will heal the flesh issue. And if you look at actually, and I believe this is a little bit off course, but I believe this is one of the ways we're gonna see revival begin to break out is whenever you can go into places with people who are out, not people who are saved, people who are completely outside of covenant, and you are able to be the conduit by which God expresses Himself to them in a powerful and mighty manner, and whatever need they have is met. Naaman responded by then worshiping, saying, there is no God like Jehovah. Listen, Pastor Stacy was prophesying this morning about, we sing the verse in heaven on earth, walking in the spirit of unity to our community, show His ability. And I think so often when we sing that, we think of things from a very practical, a very social standpoint of we're going to show our community His love by giving to them. We're going to show the community His love by wrapping our arms around. And I'm all for those things. Okay, so I'm not against those. We operate in those. There's a lot of things that we do that people, as a church body, that people never hear about because we don't go around saying, look how many people we've helped. Look at the great causes that we've contributed to. We just don't, it's just not how we roll. We've never done that. There's things going on all the time that people have no idea about. Money that's going out, people that are being helped, causes in the community that are being helped constantly, constantly. But I believe that we need to take it a step further, that we're not just walking in the spirit of unity to our community to show His ability to give to them something monetary. Oh, hallelujah. But we're giving them something that money cannot buy. Because money can't buy deliverance. And money can't buy joy. And money certainly can't buy salvation. And money can't buy a put together family. But I know something, and I know the one who has the power and the ability to restore all of those things. His name is Jesus. His name is the Holy Ghost, and he lives and he abides inside of me, walking in the spirit of unity to our community to show forth his ability to change their circumstance. And Pastor Eva had the word this morning that before he can work out of you, he's going to work in you. Before he works out of you to touch the community and to heal other people's flesh issues, he's first going to work in you and get rid of the junk inside of you. If he doesn't, your anointing becomes tainted. Now, the first thing that Naaman had to do in order to get deliverance, to get freedom from the flesh issue, is very simple, but it's often the absolute most difficult thing to do, and that is this: admit you have a problem. Oftentimes, the very most difficult thing for us to do is admit that we have an issue, because we like to walk around whistling Dixie, acting like we're okay, when in reality, everything's a mess, everything's jacked up, and if we're not careful, if we don't deal with it soon enough, it can consume us and destroy us. Naaman could even wrap himself and clothe himself in an attempt to disguise his leprosy, but it wasn't getting any better, and he could only disguise it for so long before it became evident to everyone. And listen, I've known people that they know how to put on a good appearance, and the whole time in your spirit, you're going, something isn't right, and you try to talk to them and go, you okay? Everything all right? Everything going okay? I'm great, Pastor. I'm highly favored of the Lord. Putting on a coat, wrapping themselves. Now listen, I'm not saying you make a negative confession over your life, but at the same time, you do have to be honest with yourself. That's not being, listen, being honest with your current condition is not a negative confession. Being honest with your current position is not a negative confession. It is not anti-faith to be honest with where you're at, because until you are honest with where you are at, you cannot go forward. This is what would make it a negative confession. Whenever you go, this is how it is, this is the way it's gonna be, and this is the way it's always gonna be. Faith says, this is how it is right now to my eyes, but I know something's moving and something's changing, and my current condition will not be my continued condition. Hallelujah. Admit you have a problem. Admit you have a problem. It's often the most difficult thing for us to do. We look at the things that we do right, and it's easy to recognize and admit the things we do right. Nobody has a problem with identifying their strengths. They can tell you about them all day long. Nobody has an issue about telling you what they're good at. I've met some people that can't shut up about telling me what they're good at. Some people, I go, I know you think you're good at that, but you're really not. Y'all are laughing because you've met those people too. But it's much more difficult for us to admit our shortcomings, to admit the issues in our life that need help. Let me say this, especially in faith, charismatic Pentecostal circles, because we just want to look over it and just go, hallelujah, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there, it's going to go away. But Naaman couldn't deal with his flesh issue by himself. Naaman could not deal with his flesh issue by himself. He needed somebody to speak into his life to give him the solution to the problem. Everybody knew Naaman had a problem that needed to be dealt with, so Naaman chooses to deal with the issues. Let me encourage you. You are very well aware of the flesh issues in your life. You are very well aware of the issues that you face day in and day out. You don't need somebody to shine the light on them. You are aware. I understand some people have blind spots, but I even believe most blind spots, we've made a choice to make those things blind spots. That we're completely aware of them. We just choose not to look at it and go, I don't know what you're talking about. You know how I know that you know? Because the Holy Spirit has convicting power to let you know. Hallelujah. So Naaman has this servant girl. Tells Naaman that he needs the prophet. Naaman doesn't snub his nose at this initially. As a matter of fact, he goes. He's willing to listen to the prophet, willing to receive counsel, willing to do what needs to be done. Proverbs 12:15 says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Let me encourage you to heed counsel. I would suggest that we all take some cues from Naaman here. He was so willing to do something about his issue that he campaigned all the way up the chain of command until he got to the king. He said, King, I need to go to Israel. And the king sends him. Next thing Naaman did is he's willing to sacrifice. He gathered his belongings, gold, silver, 10 sets of clothes. Most theologians believe this is worth about $500,000 in modern currency, $500,000. And a whole entourage of people and sets out on a journey with hope of receiving a miracle. Now, you can't buy a miracle, but understand I'm illustrating that Naaman is outside of covenant. The way he would think to exchange is if he was going to get something, he needs to give something. What he all he really needs to give is obedience. But there's a point here illustrated that Naaman was willing to give whatever he needed to give in order to get his miracle. You have to just get so desperate that you just are going to do whatever it takes. Naaman spares no expense. He's willing to give everything in his possession to see an answer to the problem. He's willing to pay any price, give any gift, and make any sacrifice. Nothing would be held back. Naaman lays it all on the line, and so should we. You put it this way, if you need a financial miracle, you may need to sow a financial seed. If you need a miracle in your marriage, you may need to sow some time with your spouse and turn off ESPN or not go shopping with the girls. Ooh, I know it's March Madness. It's okay. It's the truth. And listen, that's not just for the men, because I understand that generally we think that men are, this is the way our society is skewed, okay? Our society is skewed that if there is a problem in a marriage, then it's got to be the man. Because we've watched sitcoms, and we've heard Oprah, and we've heard Dr. Phil, and we've even watched some Christian movies that portray the man as the source of all the problems, and the woman can do anything wrong. She can be flirting with another man, and it's the husband's fault that she's flirting. It's his fault that she's looking at somebody else. No, it's not. Just because he's not doing what's right doesn't make her going out and doing something even more terrible right. Hallelujah. You're responsible for your actions. You don't react off of what somebody else does. You do what's right. Why is this hard to understand? Just do what's right. It's not that hard. Just make a choice to do what's right. Oh, hallelujah. So it's not just turn off ESPN, men. It's ladies. Maybe you need to turn off HGTV. Maybe you need to get off Facebook, Pinterest, Zulily, and all those other weird sites that I don't know anything about. Who comes up with these names? Who calls something Zulily? What does that even mean? Doesn't even make sense. Wally Wally Doodle. Yeah. Dear Lord. Maybe you don't need to take that shopping day with the friends. Men, maybe you don't need to go out on the boat fishing with the boys. Maybe you need to spend some time together. This is all sacrifice, my friend. It's all sacrifice. But Naaman's even going to make a greater sacrifice to this man of great stature, this man of great wealth, this man of great power. He's going to go dip in this nasty water 7 times. Dip in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman gets angry. Why does he get angry? Because the prophet is addressing an issue in Naaman's life of pride. Naaman's not just going to be healed of leprosy. He's going to be delivered of pride. He's getting a 2-for-1. It's a special deal. The prophet didn't even take his money. He just gave him a 2-for-1 deal. Elisha asked him to do something that requires humility. He asked Naaman, a wealthy, prominent man, to go bathe in the Jordan, not once, but 7 times. Now, this is about the Jordan. The Jordan is far from the cleanest body of water. It's the drain basin for the hills of Judea. People have nowhere to bathe in the Jordan River. Now, if you don't have anywhere to bathe, you're probably not going down to the Jordan every morning and taking a bath. In other words, whenever you go, you're nasty. And the people who are bathing there are nasty. So they're getting all their nastiness Nasty nastiness, that's bad. That's like double nasty. They're getting all that in the water. Water's muddy, it's gross. It's disgusting. Yet he's gonna go dip in this. God's not merely dealing with Naaman's physical flesh issue, he's dealing with a different kind of flesh issue, his pride. Naaman will have to humble himself and dip in a dirty river. It'll not only heal him of his leprosy, it's gonna get rid of his pride. Naaman's willingness to dip shows us something. Naaman was willing to change. Because he initially gets angry, he goes, who does this prophet think he is? He sees, come out here and says, this water's disgusting. But something happens and Naaman goes, you know what, I need to check my attitude and I need to change some things. It's not just admitting that you have a problem, it's being willing to change the things in your life. Because anybody can admit they have a problem, but are you willing to do what it takes to see the problem changed? When this miracle happens, nothing in the life of Naaman stays the same. He's completely changed and revolutionized. Read in verse 10 what Elisha actually says to him. He says this, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh, he doesn't say he's gonna be healed. It's not what Elisha says. He says, and your flesh shall be restored. Your flesh shall be restored. That word literally means to turn back to the starting point. To turn back to the starting point. And then when we read in verse 14, after Naaman dips in the water, it says that his flesh was like the flesh. His flesh was restored and was like that of the flesh of a little child. Because you see, have to see along the way, Naaman battling with this flesh issue for all this time has caused him to lose some things. I've already talked about leprosy and how one of the effects of leprosy can be losing of limbs and digits and things in your life. So Naaman goes into the water missing fingers but comes out restored. He comes out whole. Naaman comes out nasty and broken and disgusting. And he comes back restored to like that of a flesh of a child. Because you have to understand, whenever you have flesh issues, it causes you to lose things. When you have flesh issues, you will inevitably lose things in your life as a result of the issue eating at you and corroding things and causing destructive nature and destructive habits in your life. But whenever you get in the water, whenever you listen to the word, it doesn't just heal you. So you went, wow, I don't have leprosy anymore, but I'm still missing fingers. You're healed and restored, and God gives back everything that you lost as a result of your flesh issue. You have to understand, God's not just in the healing business. God is in the restoration business. God is not in the business of just having you manage. He's in the business of having you overcome. God's not in the business of just simply giving just enough. He's the God of more than enough. He doesn't just want to heal you of your flesh issue. He wants to restore everything that you lost because of the flesh issue in your life. He is good. Woo. When I think about his goodness, when I think about the fact that it's because of my own destructive behavior that I lost things, he says, I'm still going to give it back to you. When I think about that, it's my own fault that I lost things. And he goes, it doesn't matter. You're going to dip in the water. Oh, hallelujah. Which is one of the reasons that we're baptized. Because whenever we're baptized, the old man dies and the new man comes up. Whenever we're baptized, the flesh man dies and a new man comes up. We drown everything else in the water. God's not just interested in you managing with your issue. He wants to heal you of your flesh issue and restore everything that was lost. Listen, I believe this with everything inside of me. There is a spirit of revival that God is releasing in his church. And I believe there's a spirit of revival that God is not just releasing in the church universal, but I believe he is really releasing for lack of a better way of putting it, a double portion of glory on this house. And if you're a part of High Praise, if you're here today, that means he's releasing it on your life. It's not just about this place as a physical location. It's about the people that gather here, which means God is releasing it on your life in order to be taken out. But listen, 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 listen. Before you take it out, you got to deal with here first. Before you go telling your coworkers, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Before you go out trying to remove the speck from your brother's eye, you need to deal with the plank in yours first. So you then may rightly, this is what the Bible says, so you may then rightly deal with your brother. It's not that you shouldn't deal with your brother, it's that you got to deal with yourself first. That's what it says. It's not talking about you just shut your mouth and let people do whatever they want to do like we like to use it in our society today. What he's saying is examine yourself. That's what Jesus said, not Joshua. That's what Jesus said. You deal with yourself so that you can then be the conduit that I use to deal with others. It's not what we think it means. Probably the most misused passage, at least top five most misused passages in the entire Bible. If somebody wants to do something, they go, well, you know, Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. It's not what he's talking about, but it's... Deal with your flesh issue first, though. I believe God is releasing this powerful wave of revival in the earth. But before it comes, you better deal with your issue. Let me say, this is why I feel like you have to deal with your issue. Because I feel like, and the Lord's even speaking to me, that whenever this thing, I believe what we felt is kind of like ripples. Now you can be standing on the shore of the beach, and you can kind of be standing right there at the water's edge, and the water can kind of come and just hit your toes a little bit, just the ripples of the water, right? Just the ripples. But I believe that what God, and it's refreshing whenever that happens. You know what I'm talking about? If you like the beach. I don't like the beach, so I'm one of those weird people that lives in Florida, and if I never went to the beach again in my life, I'd be okay. A couple of you are with me, not very many. It's sticky. Sand gets everywhere. And right now, you can't even see the beach. It's just people. I've seen pictures and I go, wait, where's the beach at? I see people and water. That's all I see. But whenever that water comes up, it's kind of refreshing. But what God is getting ready to bring is not just a little refreshing, but he's getting ready to overtake us with the tsunami wave. And listen, I feel like whenever the wave hits, that it's going to be pedal to the metal. Here we go. And here's the deal. If you want to be used, there's not going to be time to stop and deal with your flesh issue. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not saying that you'll be left behind completely, but what I'm saying is you will not be used to the fullness of the level to be able to be one who exports. You'll be one who's being worked on. Deal with your flesh issue. Can I get the band to come up? Somebody grab Micah, please. Deal with your flesh issue. Stand up to your feet, please. I hope you receive something out of this today. I've felt about... I was originally going to preach this message last Sunday night. And obviously I didn't get the chance because of the reign of his spirit, unlike the reign in the natural right now. Thank you, Daddy. So I didn't get to... I didn't get to minister this last Sunday night, but I believe it was even, understand the way I say this, divine that I didn't get to minister that on Sunday night, because I believe that this was the word God had for this morning. Even as the prophetic words came forth, this is the word that God has for today, that you need to deal with your issue. That was the word. I didn't talk to Pastor Eva before service. I didn't talk to her at all. She had no idea what I was ministering on. Not a scripture, nothing. Today is the day for, heaven on earth is fine. Today's the day that you deal with your issue. Even as Naaman went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times and received his miracle, I find it fascinating that as we begin to close, that it begins to rain, because I believe there is a river that is beginning to flow in this place. even right now. Just lift your hands right where you are. That there's a river that's flowing. And the call is coming forth from the Spirit of God that's saying, come dip in the river and be made whole. Come dip in the river and be restored. Come dip in the river and your flesh issue goes away. I want everybody just to lift your hands, close your eyes. Father, I thank you right now that you're dealing with hearts and you're dealing with lives. I think you're revealing issues. Issues in our lives that we haven't dealt with. Issues that we've tried to wrap and we've tried to cover. Father, I thank you right now that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost is in this place, revealing to us, Father God, our shortcomings, revealing to us, Lord, the issues in our life that we haven't dealt with. And I thank you, Lord, that right now, in this moment, hallelujah, in this moment that we're dealing with, I want everybody to put your hands down, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you say, Pastor Joshua, you know what? As you've been ministering this morning, there's been issues in me that I haven't dealt with. There's been flesh issues, and I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to get left behind of what God's doing in this hour. I want to deal with my issue this morning. I want to dip in the Jordan, and I want to come up whole. I want to be restored. God's going to give you everything back as you are faithful to heed his word. God's going to restore to you as you are faithful to his word. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand all over this room. If that's you, flesh issues in my life that I haven't dealt with, come on, lift your hands. There's nothing to be ashamed of, friend. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Issues I haven't dealt with. And this morning, I'm dipping in the water. I want to be made well. I want to be made whole. Now, if that's you, I want you to come up to the front right now as an act of obedience, as an act of faith. I want you to come to the front. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to take you to the water. We're going to take you to the Jordan. You're going to dip and you're going to be made whole. You're going to dip and you're going to be made clean. God's going to restore. Come on, give them a hand, church, as they come. God's going to restore everything that's been stolen, everything that's been taken, everything that's been lost is going to be restored in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift your hands and worship today. Come on, lift your hands and worship. Lift your hands, church. Come on, this is glorious lives changed and transformed in Jesus' name.